Would you please turn back in the church Bibles to page 212 of the New Testament sections, the second sections of the Bibles in front of you, to Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll be looking at several verses here in just a moment. If you want to understand a Bible verse, you must study it in context. This is one of the basic principles of Bible interpretation. And if you take a single verse and try to apply it in the Christian life apart from its context, you're almost certain to misunderstand and twist God's word. Let me give you an example of what I mean. The other week in one of our All Souls training programs, we were studying the idea of freedom in the Spirit, seeking to understand what it means, seeking to experience it. And we soon came across the famous verse, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Now that is a verse I, as I expect you, have heard quoted many times. Many people take it to mean, where the Holy Spirit is present, there one loses one's English inhibitions and learns to express worship naturally, joyfully, with one's whole body. Where the Holy Spirit is present, there one is no longer afraid of emotions but can let them appear in a full, overflowing, of course controlled way. Now, it may or may not be true that as a person goes on in Christ, he finds it easier and easier to express his emotions. But what is certainly true is that Paul meant nothing of the sort when he said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And when we studied that statement in its context in 2 Corinthians 3, we discovered it's not talking about emotions at all. It's talking about the freedom to understand and know God, especially through the pages of the Old Testament. And if you want to understand and not twist a Bible verse, you need to study it in its context. And the same is true of our verse tonight, Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, I dare say almost every single one of us knows that verse. It's famous. But I guess if I'd asked you when you came in tonight what chapter it belonged to, or even what book of the Bible, not 10% would have got it right. And even if you're patting yourself on the back because you did know it was in Hebrews chapter 13, you learned the reference as a child, I believe not one of you could have told me even the gist of the verse that came before and the verse that comes after. And yet, that is precisely its context. That is the setting in which this jewel, and it is very precious, is embedded. That is the key to its correct understanding. Because if you want to study the context, as I teach Koya, you need to look before and after. And that has taught me three things about what this great verse, Hebrews 13:8, is teaching. First, Jesus Christ is our unchanging leader. The writer has just said, verse 7, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God." And we saw a few weeks ago when we looked at this verse that the leaders here were those who first brought the Christian message to them, who converted them, if you like, and who built them up in their early Christian days. there was a danger of forgetting their message, a danger of falling away from their steadfast faith. And so the writer says, verse 7, remember them. But perhaps there was another danger, a danger of relying too heavily on human leaders, past or present. And so the writer adds, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday and today and forever. Human leaders come and go. These early leaders in verse 7 are only a happy memory now. And of course, the present leaders mentioned in verse 17 will one day be gone too. There is only one leader who never changes, Jesus Christ. But he is the leader to follow and to obey. The other week I preached on these verses, 7 and 17, and spoke of the need to obey our Christian leaders, to imitate them, and to submit to them, because that's what the verses say. But let us never forget that our supreme leader is Jesus Christ. There are some Christian leaders today who demand absolute obedience and unthinking submission from their flock. The ordinary Christian's mind is bypassed. Theirs not to reason why. Theirs but to do what the leadership says. And so, though, of course, they haven't realized it. Their allegiance is first and foremost to a human leader, not to Jesus Christ. Now, that kind of attitude, whether encouraged by the leaders or practiced by the members, is right against the teaching of the New Testament. No one could accuse the Epistle to the Hebrews of being against human leaders. But having pointed to a great string of Old Testament heroes in chapter 11, the writer says they are only witnesses. It is Jesus to whom the Christian must look. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And here in chapter 13, he tells them to remember their leaders. But it is Jesus who is the unchanging leader, the same yesterday and today and forever. And if, sadly, the will of the two clash, the human leader and the supreme leader, Jesus, we are left in no doubt whom we are to obey. But perhaps the danger which our writer has in mind, still more than that of blind obedience to human leaders, is that of too much harking back to the leaders of the past. And so he says, verse 7, remember your early leaders. But at the same time, of course, their life has had what he calls an outcome. They have passed on. It is only Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday and today and forever. They were transient. He remains. I wonder if you look back to some leader who meant a great deal to you in your early Christian days. The leader of the youth group through which you came to Christ. The old days in a fellowship group when you felt there was a good, strong leader. Your parents, perhaps. Or every church, and this one is no exception, has a group of people who thinks it was much better under the last vicar. Harking back to a past leader whom we respect is a very common experience. And these verses say we are to remember them. We're to be grateful for them and to carry on in the way they taught and showed us. But they have now passed on. And perhaps that's a very good thing. Perhaps we relied on them too much. Perhaps we got near to worshipping them. And now without them, we are able to learn that it's only Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Only he is our unchanging leader. And perhaps we will learn the vital lesson of relying on him rather than them. Next, this verse, taken in context, teaches us that Jesus Christ is our unchanging helper. We mustn't forget the church to which these verses were written. We know from the rest of the letter that they were going through a very tough time. There were strong pressures on them to give up their faith, or at least to water it down. And frankly, they were beginning to weaken, to give way. Now, in this situation, the writer tells them to remember their leaders, and particularly, halfway through verse 7, consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. The word translated outcome means literally departure. It's a reference almost certainly to their death. So the writer says, think hard about your early leaders' life, their behavior, and how they clung on faithfully right through to their death. And then you imitate their faith. But, these Hebrew Christians may be thinking, they were spiritual giants. They were able to keep going under intense difficulties. But we find the pressures are simply too much for us. We haven't got that kind of faith. And as if to answer these objections, the writer replies, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In other words, the Jesus Christ who helped them to keep faithful will help you under pressure too. Because Jesus Christ is our unchanging helper. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of the person or people who first led you to Christ and built you up in him, your early Christian leaders. Just for a moment, think of them. Perhaps you think of their stability as Christians, or the extraordinary steadiness of their faith. You know that faith was tested. They went through some very difficult times. There were sadnesses, perhaps, in the family or in their relationships. There were bitter disappointments to come to terms with. But their faith stood firm. And even as you think of them, your heart is warmed, you're encouraged. But now, what happens when you are in difficulties in your turn? As I imagine some of you are now. What happens when there are strong pressures on you to give up your Christian faith? When you have to face bitter disappointments? When sadness comes to you? Can you face these things with the unshakable faith that your early leaders did? Oh, you say, I'm completely different, just not in the same class. They were wonderful Christians. I can't compare with them. Perhaps not. But that's not the point. The point is, it was Jesus Christ who helped them pull through. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Their experience, their life, as you think about it, needn't mock you, needn't make you think what a pathetic Christian you are by comparison, because their experience points beyond itself to the one who helped them, to the one who and who alone can help you. Jesus Christ, your unchanging helper. And third, this verse with its context teaches us that Jesus Christ is our unchanging message. We saw earlier that to grasp how a verse fits into its context and therefore to understand it correctly, you need to look before and after. So far we've looked at what comes before. And our verse principally looks back to verse 7. Literally it reads, Jesus Christ, yesterday and today the same, and forever. The writer has said, remember your first leaders. But of course, now they have passed on. Jesus Christ, who was there yesterday, is the same still today, your unchanging leader. He's talked about those leaders' faith, firm to the very end. And Jesus Christ is the same today as yesterday, the unchanging helper. So the writer has said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, looking back at verse 7. But now he adds to complete the sentence, and forever. Verse 8, literally, Jesus Christ yesterday and today the same, and forever. And that leads him on to the thought of verse 9. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Jesus Christ is not just our leader and helper. He is our unchanging message. And we're not to be led astray from him by some new teaching, however attractive. There is today a cult of novelty. You see this very clearly in the adverts. If it's new, it must be better. And this attitude has invaded the thinking of Christians, especially young Christians. Any new idea, they think, anything that sounds interesting and clever or plausible, must be good. Now let's be quite clear. The Christian faith is firmly wedded to finding constantly new ways of expressing the Christian message in evangelism, in our church structures, in our worship. Jesus saying about new wineskins for new wine means nothing if it doesn't mean that his bubbling new faith cannot be contained in outmoded forms and old-fashioned ways of expressing it. We cannot be content with worship services and church life and Christian witness as it always has been. Christianity is just not that comfortable. But there's one thing that doesn't change for the Christian, and that is our message. Because at the center of that message is Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. And that is why the writer goes on, verse 9, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. New and strange doctrines, in fact, any departure from the emphases of the New Testament, are always going to be wrong. Always a dangerous, though perhaps attractive, mistake. Now, you wouldn't expect the ways in which we attempted to depart from the central Christian message to be exactly the same as those which the Hebrews here were in danger of slipping into. But it seems they wanted a Christian faith that would be more acceptable to the people amongst whom they lived. And isn't that actually just what we are in danger of succumbing to? We want a Christianity that is more philosophically acceptable, that explains away those embarrassingly naive miracle stories, that discounts the expectation of a second coming of Christ, that makes Jesus Christ very much a man that insists on his humanity, but rather loses sight of the fact that he was also God. We want a Christianity that is morally more palatable. So today Christians are saying that the Bible only condemns having intercourse with a prostitute, not with someone you love, or that a Christian homosexual can indulge his desires in a relationship with another man or woman, or at least that he has no need to fight against the attraction he feels to someone of his own sex. Now let's be honest, this desire for greater sexual laxity is very, very understandable. But it stems from a desire to make Christianity more easily acceptable to us and to those around us. Or perhaps the desire is simply for a message that's more exciting. The same old Christian truths we know become rather boring after a time. And so we get really excited about some dynamic Christian teacher with his new refreshing message. And all we can talk about is pastor this or brother that. But immediately we start discovering different, novel emphases within the Christian faith. And immediately we start talking all the time about some other human being, however great. Warning lights should flash in our mind. Jesus Christ is the center of our message. No one and nothing else. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever, our unchanging message. So, I hope you see this verse didn't just land at Hebrews 13:8 like Skylab, completely out of the blue. It's not that our author was writing about something totally different and he suddenly interrupted himself and said, oh, by the way, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This statement is firmly embedded in its context. And it's only when we see it in context that we will understand it properly. But doesn't it then become very much richer? Listen, says the writer, look back at your past leaders. Their teaching, their example, will keep you on the straight and narrow. You ought to be profoundly grateful for them. But is it true, perhaps, that you see now you were over-dependent on them, and still today you're too much under their spell? It's good that they've moved on, or that you've moved on out of their sphere of influence, because Jesus Christ is your leader. You must learn now to rely wholly on him. And think back over those leaders' lives. It's inspiring, isn't it, to think of them? Yes, but inspiring to what? To trust Jesus Christ, the unchanging helper, the one who will help you as he helped them. And how about the Christian message? Don't you find the novel attracts you? That you're always hoping to hear something that's completely new. I am. It's interesting to play with some new idea. Interesting, says the writer, but dangerous. Because Jesus Christ is our unchanging message. And to hold him firmly at the center will keep us from the twin dangers of watering down our faith under pressure, or forever searching for and latching on to any idea that is new. And only with Jesus Christ as the unchanging center of our message will we be able to fight the good fight of Christian faith.